Amen. If you're listening to this against your will, take some comfort knowing that I'm recording it against mine. But unless you press stop, it's check your head. Comics. With Eclipse Bilky.
Where's my timber?
Howdy, y'all. Back again.
Mommy, it's the
don't run away. Don't be scared. I'm not going to hurt you. Sorry about that. Last week, I was a little stressed out. You can all relate to that, can't you?
Shut up and get on with it.
But I'm glad you came back to my podcast. I'm happy to hear you. Wait a minute, that didn't work out. You're happy to hear me. Well, I don't know if you're happy to hear me, but I'm happy if you hear me. Son of a bitch. Anyway, wouldn't be my show if I didn't screw up right off the bat.
Daddy said,
son, what you don't fuck up, I want you to shit on. You got that?
Oh, man. Yeah, last week, about took the life out of me. I'm feeling a little better this week.
Liar.
More sober. Just a little. Took a few days off from drinking. Broke that tonight. Ever since Hurricane Ike, I've gotten off my
groove. My little baby.
I had a rhythm working, you know? Like, I'd drink on the weekends and be fine during the week. And every Friday night, I'd, you know, do my thing, record this show for you. And I'd have it finished by Sunday. Maybe I'd have some time to record some music or what have you.
I'm like, jack off.
I kind of got off that because we didn't have power for about 9 days, y'all. And, I lost my 1 week lead. Should have had a couple week lead, but I didn't want things to get boring. I don't talk about politics or news or
anything entertaining.
You know, I really don't talk about anything very, very important, do I? At least nothing important to this age. This age is all about money
and sex
and drugs
and sex. Yeah, sex.
That's not a drug.
What about the sex?
What about okay, sex? Well, come I don't on, really man. Know what's important.
Sex!
I know that a lot of people are mad about money and they're mad about gas and they're mad about work and they're mad about being mad and they're mad about their cell phones and
they're mad about
their cell phones in a happy way. And that, you know, most of these people wish these devices had a heavier vibration device or at least a larger USB port, because the weight that they drive around with these things stuck to their faces and walk around plowing into things and being idiots because they're too busy talking to somebody who's 50 miles away or how fucking far away. Doing exactly the same thing, pissing somebody else off because they're somewhere else being stupid with somebody else instead of concentrating on what they should be doing, like their fucking job or
driving their fucking cars, for fucking Christ's sake.
I mean, can you douchebags hang up your fucking cell phones long enough to realize that you're
operating a huge mechanical death machine?
You don't see the stats, or maybe you're too busy rubbernecking at the fucking accident to really understand that somebody just lost their fucking life. And I drive home every day through these streets, and I live in a big city. I live in Houston, Texas, and somebody dies every fucking day in a car wreck, and that's just the people that bite the weenie. What about all the people that break their necks, break their arms, puncture their lungs, you know, internal damage, ruin their lives because they lost their money?
Shit their pants.
They didn't have insurance, or the other person didn't have insurance. I mean, fucking Christ. This is the most important thing you do all day. You operate a mechanical death machine for 20 to 30 to 50, however long miles you go, and every person you encounter, every car you encounter has a human being in it, and especially the motorcycles, because I'm out there on a bike, y'all, and you just don't give a shit. And what's even worse than that, you're going to laugh your balls off or tits off or whatever the fuck you've got that'll jiggle too much and kind of hurt you a little bit and make you want to get some support. Me, I'm thinking about a truss. And my wife's got the support bra. I'm hanging low. What was I talking about? The most important thing you do all day. It's not your fucking job. It's not kissing your kids goodbye. It's not watching television. For Christ's sake, it's driving that fucking car. You live in a city especially. Because...
Man, how long is this going to go on?
You kill air, you kill with the air, everything. The animals and the people.
It's almost over there, just hanging there.
And you don't take it seriously. Every day when I drive into work, I have to because it means my ass. And several times it has meant my ass. I was going to work one day and some dickhead wanted to race me. I didn't want to race his ass, and so I tried to slow down and go behind him so I could eventually turn right. I wasn't about to get macho chest beaten with this motherfucker on my way to work. And still, he caused me to fuck up and brake with the wrong brake and slow down too quickly and try to get behind him instead of going in front of him like he thought I wanted to. And I hit this bump in the fucking road. Next thing I know, I snap my arm off. I'm bouncing down the fucking road. My bike's skidding. I have to jump up and run off the fucking road, checking on my body parts as I go. Of course, my arm's going. If I get off to the side of the fucking road, I only got one good arm, so I can't run out there and get my bike out of the road. Luckily, two guys stopped and pushed it off for me. I thanked them very much. Two ambulances were on the scene immediately. Cop didn't show up for about 5 minutes later. Traffic was all backed up, not because of my bike or anything like that. They were just slowing down to check out and see what the fuck was going on. A couple guys honked. One guy yelled at me, "Hey, fucking asshole!" Cop shows up eventually. You know what? The only thing he was concerned with was me showing him my license and registration. Of course, I'm sitting there on the ground with a broken arm, trying to get my leather jacket off over this wrist, which was, I snapped three bones, by the way. Thank you very much. Ugh. Motherfucker wrote me three tickets and then fucked off without doing any good for anybody.
And the speedy cocksucker in the silver sedan that caused all this shit drove off into the sun.
And that's why I take driving very seriously and cops not seriously at all. Ideas. Please, when you're out on the road, take it fucking seriously. Don't treat the other people around you like they're just fucking things to bounce off of or things in your fucking way. These are human beings. Most of them are doing really stupid things, like talking on the phone or turning their head to the right to converse with their passenger instead of looking at the fucking road because they believe that eye contact is very important in conversation. I got your fucking eye contact. When your eyes contact your windshield because you weren't watching and the person in front of you slammed on their fucking brakes. Do you see where I'm coming from? I'm sick of it. I don't want to drive. I'd rather just get up in the morning, walk upstairs where I am right now, and fucking do this for a living. But I can't. I have to go to work. I have to bust my ass every day. And I can't stay home. So please, don't fucking kill me. Please don't ruin my life by crashing into my brand new car that'll probably be the only car I have my entire life. Please, just fucking pay attention when you're out there mingling with other people. And don't take everything for granted and fuck your fucking conversation and your cell phone. And the day that they ban cell phone use in cars except for emergencies, and you're at the pool, you were dialing 911 when you were in that fucking accident or being chased by that fucking maniac with a gun that wants to kill you because you almost swiped his ass with your car because you're talking on the cell phone. And that's where road rage comes from, people. You were being stupid and not paying attention. You pissed off somebody that had had way too much of people not paying attention and being stupid and almost ruining their fucking lives. Get it? You know what? Fuck this. Cold. I want to read a comic book. Dicks. You know what time it is, sucker? It's time for the funny book flashback, turkey. Yeah. All right. I'm done with that crap. even though I got a real bad cold and I'm almost losing my voice and I can barely breathe, we're going to talk about this comic book. Just like the Corbin thing, I got to get it out of my system. This is Meef Comics number 2, The Overland Vegetable Stagecoach by F. Schreer. I did look it up, and there were only 2 episodes. I say episodes. Issues. It's kind of a shame. I don't know where this guy went. I couldn't find anything else by him. The cool thing about this is that, at least in the first episode, there was some Dave Sheridan stuff. I was really sad. I didn't even know it. And I started looking it up and found out that he died quite a while ago. I didn't know. I'm kind of glad I didn't know. I hate getting bad news like that when you find out that all the people that you at least respected or liked what they did, because maybe you weren't that close to them and didn't know all the other nasty things they did. But at least their comic books or their music or what have you was pretty good. And that's why I don't like to learn too much about anybody. I'd rather just see the crap they create. It's good that way. Yeah. Oops, sorry. The cover of this comic just... Dare did it again. Hit the microphone. The pages. I wish you could smell it. It smells like a coloring book I had when I was like 5 or 6 years old. Boy, that's weird. What's the cover smell like? Nothing, because I got a fucking cold. I bet this thing really reeks when my nose isn't clogged up with snot. Yeah. Muchos mocos. Anyway. This is a little bit different than the other one because he actually mentions drugs. And there's more short stories. It's not one great big narrative going all the way through it. The first one is a really neat little one-pager on the inside. It's called Reflection. And, of course, it says Reflection, and then it spells it backwards with a little sun over the top of it. And I kind of like that. I wish it was a moon. It shows a couple of guys in business suits standing out reading. One's reading a newspaper in front of a bank. And one of them happens to glance around while he's waiting for the bus and smoking a cigarette and sees his reflection in the glass and freaks out and slaps his friend on the shoulder. He says, Otis, Otis, Otis. And then they turn around and look in the window and they see reflections of themselves, except for they're long-haired, totally bearded hippies, man, wearing raggedy clothes and stuff. And his friend Otis says, I've tried to live a clean life. I never thought it would come to this. And he goes, it can't really be happening. And his friend goes, I know, but it is. From this point on, you're seeing this from the opposite perspective, like it's the hairy monkey men, you know, the hippies. He flips around, he says, wait, hold on, maybe my glasses. He takes them off and wipes them. Or air pollution, maybe. Wipes them off and puts them on and says, yeah, that's better. Whew. And they go back to normal, and apparently they were the barefooted hippie ape monkey men the whole time. They're happy with that. The guy reading this paper goes, it's that so far out, man. Yeah, I got a cold. It dives right into it from the very first page. The next one is some kind of bizarre thing called the electronic music concert. And I wish I could just, I ought to add part of this to the scan. Totally psychedelic. And from the moment this thing takes off, it's a conductor and he goes through this bizarre, inflectuated, I don't even know if that's a word. You think he's like a German guy. Imagine he's talking like Albert Einstein and he's explaining to these people that his study of music, and he calls it Musik. I began studying music when about 3, and then when I'm 6, I go school and learn technicalities. Later I go college and study to be more good. And now, through kind generosity of your country and culture exchange, we can for to listen here to me now. I would like to explain some things about my music. Its style be in the manner of being composed mostly of interdirectional intervals.
which comprehend and, how you say, maybe take advantages of reciprocating centripetal energies within a structural overtonal commodity, I think. I believe that music exists only if the listener for be always on a salient relationship with the ephemeral subtleties of counterpointing modulation designs. Is then that the complexities that once were only noise can manifest themselves as intelligible vibrations in your head. Yes? So now maybe I let my music be its own voice.
I can't see my reflection in the water. Can't speak the sounds that show no pain. I can't hear the echo of my footsteps. Can't remember the sound of my own name. And it's only my true love. And if I could hear the heart softly pound, if only she would lie by me, and I could sleep in my bed once again. There's beauty in the silver singing river. There's beauty in sunrise and sky. None of these can match the beauty that I remember my true love's eyes. And if only my true love were waiting. And if I could hear the heart softly pound, if only she were lying by me, and she could sleep in my room once again.
Psychedelic horns blasting and waves flying, and the orchestra picks up hammers and jackhammers, and the guy's eating his violin while he plays it with a saw. Some of the members of the orchestra turn into balls of pure energy, and some of these energies are coming out of the flute player and manifest themselves as some spotted alien with horns for heads, and he goes out and his back is to you, but you can tell that he's spooging all over the audience, and the audience members are going, oh God, and you see their faces covered with white stuff, and oh man, it's a mess. Beautiful. Ends at a great big splat. The next page is a cartoon called Beer, a penetrating analysis of the drinking syndrome, and I really don't get it. I don't get it. Hey, I got Guinness. Oh, shit. You know what I forgot? I forgot to play that sound effect. Ooh, not that one. This one right here. Check it out. Oh, shit. I can't find the button. Oh, there's the button. I found the button. Hey. Hey, get your hand off of that. Don't press that button. No. Don't. I told you not to press that button. Oh, shit. I wish I could go through every single page of this book, but that'd be kind of ruining it, and I'm not really that good of a voice actor. one of the cool things in here is a Zen tale. When it says a Zen fable, excuse me. And it's, I recognize the story it came from. He really, really adapted it, I guess, because he was on some serious mushrooms. But it is a Buddhist story, more like a Zen or a Shin Buddhist, the Chinese tale. And let me see if I can break this down. I really can't now that I press the button. But one day a monk, he calls him Wen Hung Lo. Obviously, he's totally ruining this. He says, one day a neophyte monk named Wen Hung Lo approached his master, Chopped Phooey. Oh, God, Phooey. See, that's what it keeps me from remembering the real story. But the cool thing is just the art. He does his style. I told you before, there's lots of scratches and dots, and his real use of different styles of shading makes every drawing he does three-dimensional and totally trippy. And there's lots of Japanese scenes in here, especially this one looking out of this window with the Japanese table when Wen Hung Lo approached his master, Chop Fui. I mean, fool the story, and you can find it better in a book by, you know, Alan Watts or something. I recommend Alan Watts or D.T. Suzuki if you're going to read anything, or maybe the Douglas Adams, anything other than that. Oh, Robert Aspirin is good. Anyway, maybe Benjamin Hoff, he's good. The Tao of Pooh and the Day of Piglet and that stuff. What was I talking about? Oh, Meef Comics. I got a cold, y'all. This is beautiful. You can tell it's everything in here is mixed up in different stages of his artistic career, if we call that, because apparently it spanned these two issues of his own published comic. But some of them look like sketches out of his notebook, and some are really old drawings, and some of them are really detailed, like the one I just almost described to you. But he really bastardizes that story so much that it's not even worth retelling. But the art is worth it. And it's pretty funny. Especially if you know what it comes from, it's funny. That's why you need to read D.T. Suzuki or Alan Watts. What was I talking about? Check out this comic, man. Find it. It couldn't be that expensive. It's just a little hard to find. And don't get ripped off on eBay. Check around and look on the online comics price guide and see what it's really going for before you blow too much money on it. Especially on eBay, look out for the scans. Ask them to send you a personal scan of it. You can do that, and if they can't, you know, tell them to take a picture of it. You could get ripped off. I got ripped off a little bit. I'm just sort of babbling because I'm covering up the fact that I'm reading this again. I just reread it again. I mean, for like the fifth time, but it's been a while. It's been about a year. I read it again last week. I took it to work and read it in the car during lunch. It's great. But I'm checking it out again. The last bit is a social, S-O-S-H-I-A-L, excuse me, commentary called Honky Mother Funny. It shows a couple of guys, a couple of black guys, sitting up against a wall. One of them turns to the other and says, oh. Well, one of them's white and one of them's black. And he turns and says, ha. And the black guy jumps up and says, hi yourself, mother, and unzips. And apparently he's a white guy underneath. But then the honky again unzips, and he's a black guy with a big afro and says, well, hi again. And so the white guy who was the black guy before unzips his outer skin. He's a little skinny black guy too, and he says, oh yeah. And well, the other guy rips his suit apart, and he's a white guy again. He says, yeah. And the other guy rips his suit apart, and he's another white guy, and he says, think again, and pushes him in the nose, and it says twat. And that's the sound effect. I love that. Well, then again, you know, the guy that just got twatted in the nose unzips, and he's this, you know, smooth brother with the I like this one right here. It's pretty cool. He's got the receding hairline and the sunglasses and a little chubby face, and he's wearing like a robe. And he says, okay. The other guy who's the white guy again unzips, and he's a little bitty black guy, and he says, what up? The other guy unzips, and he almost looks like Nixon at this point. And he says, never. I guess, I don't know, it was around 72 or something, 70. Maybe it was Billy, Jimmy Carter thing, I don't know. Another guy zips his off, of course he's white again. This is ridiculous. I mean, it's just stupid. Back and forth, they're swapping out. One's a white guy, one's a black guy, one's a black guy, one's a white guy. And the last guy goes, well, didn't dig this. And he unzips, and, well, there's nothing there. And, of course, the black guy left. He's holding the saxophone. He turns, and he says, ain't no way I'm going to mess with that last zipper. And that's it. I mean, it's silly as shit, but I dig it. It's pretty cool. Again, that was called a social commentary. Honky mother funny. Whatever, dude. The back of the comic, because there's no advertisements. It was self-published. Every single page is filled up with art and stories and crazy shit. The back says, it shows a storefront. It's kind of sepia-toned. And big $1 crowning thing over a sign that's got, it looks like, you know, old, maybe like Broadway style, you know, word with lights around them. It says Peter's Pornographic People's Shop. What the fuck is this? It's got a naked guy in a swing in the window, another naked girl underneath them, and naked women smacked up against the window, you know, like they're, I don't get it. This guy did, this one I thought actually mentioned drugs. Hold on, let me find the part where it mentions. Oh, yeah, it was a one-act play for the Theater of the Absurd. It's called The Hijacking. It's one of those things to where, you know, one guy jumps up and says, I'm hijacking, we're going to Cuba. And the other one jumps up and says, no, man, we're going to India. Or whatever, you know. He kind of takes it way, way further than just about anyone I'd ever seen, which is funny because this is from 1972. But he takes this shit going on for four pages. One of the guys, I think it was the guy that wanted to, I don't know where he wanted to go. He says, I am a desperate man, therefore I must do something drastic, which means sacrificing one lid to save many a lid more. Here, Freud, the mad bomber, have a hit on this and then fly this fucker. And he hands him a joint. So this other guy, I guess the pilot dove out at this point. Yeah, that's right. He's like, fuck this shit. One of the guys wants to go to Mars. Anyway, oh shit. Guess what? They smoke enough of that shit he was carrying, they end up in Mars. Says, land down there between the giant pizza pie and the rocket ship. Good God, it is Mars. What the? Well, maybe it is. Maybe, my guess is we're in L.A. And if we aren't, so what? And henceforth, I'm dealing strictly by bus. I agree. I don't like flying either. Especially if you end up on Mars or L.A. And I did end up there one time. And I tell you what, dropping three hits of acid and going and riding Magic Mountain three times in a row is fucking awesome. God damn. I was 18 years old, and if I could do it again, I would. Thanks, Dad. Thanks, Stepmom. Too bad you're both dead. Well, you know what? I think I wasted enough of both of our time this week. Piss off. Nah, I'm kidding. I love y'all. Later. Haters rule.